Well, let's pray, can we, and ask God's help in coming back to this amazing story, the working of the Holy Spirit in these people's lives. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that you haven't left us on our own, Lord, to fend for ourselves, to muddle along, and to figure it all out by ourselves, Lord. Thank you, you've given us the Bible, your truth, written for us, down through the ages, Lord, to minister to your people, to guide them on the pathway, Lord, as David said so long ago, your word is a lamp to our feet, a guide for our path. And Lord, thank you, we have, as the Israelites had in the wilderness, the pillar of cloud and fire, the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us into the truth of God. Bless us and lead us as we share tonight from this amazing book. Lord, bless us and help us. And Lord, not just simply to know the story and think about the events as then, Lord, but to see you at work, same God today, Lord, working in people's lives. Lord, that we may trust you for today, not just looking at the past, but thinking of your grace and mercies for today. So help us, Father, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're at Acts, about chapter 24, is it? 24, yes, the trial before Felix. Felix. His mum called him Felix, or his dad did. I'm not sure who called the baby Felix when he was born. But do you know what Felix means?
Cat.
No, it doesn't mean cat. It means happy. Happy. I wonder if he was a happy little child. Well, that was wishful hoping, you know. But anyway, there we are. Right, so Paul has been kept under guard at Caesarea in Herod's palace. Right, he's under arrest, sort of. Yeah? There's no charges really against him, it's just a stitch-up job. But he's kept under guard in Herod's palace. So here we get now verse 1 of chapter 24. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias went down to Caesarea with some of the elders and a lawyer named Tertullus. And they brought their charges against Paul before the governor. So they've been summoned down there, but Ananias the high priest comes as well. Right? Now this is the big guns on the job, you know. They must really hate Paul. Mm. Yeah? They are really upset by Paul. And what was Ananias' problem with what Paul taught? Remember, Ananias is one of the leaders, he's the high priest. He's a member of the party of the Sadducees.
Yeah,
and the Sadducees were the first group of opposition that the Christians met. Right? The Sadducees are sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. And the last thing that Ananias wants people telling others about is Jesus coming back from the dead. It rather upsets their little theories and, of course, messes up their whole way of doing things. So he's gunning for Paul. That's the point, right? And he went down 5 days later. That's pretty quick moving, you know. For political movers, this is fast moving. And he went down to Caesarea with some of the elders. So that's which of the elders would they be? They wouldn't be the Pharisees, I guarantee, because the Pharisees stuck up for Paul in the Sanhedrin, yeah. Right? It'd be more of his Sadducee mates, I should imagine, right? And a lawyer named Tertullus. Now, when you hear the word lawyer, just go, boo, you know. Right? Tertullus. He's got a lawyer on the job. What's the lawyer going to do?
Tertullus.
He's going to Tertullus. Oh, no. Right. He's going to make it as bad as possible can be for Paul. Right? That's what he's got the lawyer for. The lawyer knows how to spin words, you know. And so he's going to make it really bad for Paul as best he can. It's a Roman, yes, probably a Roman chap. He knows Roman law, right? So he's going to use whatever legal knowledge he has to make it bad for Paul, right? So, they brought their charges against Paul before the governor. He's the sort of judge of the situation. When Paul was called in, Tertullus presented his case before Felix. We've enjoyed a long period of peace under you, and your foresight has brought about reforms in this nation. Everywhere and in every way, most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this with profound gratitude. But in order not to weary you any further, I would request that you be kind enough to hear us briefly. Right. Now then, how about that? If that's not lard, right, he's really sort of trying to butter him up. But I suspect by the time he got to, but in order not to weary you any further, I should imagine Felix is dozing off at this point. Yeah? So it's trying to get on his good side, you know, by telling him how wonderful he is. I don't know how much you know about Felix. He's not a nice man. No. But he's trying to say lovely things about him, so he gets him on his side. So if you're trying to win the case, don't upset the judge, right? Okay, so that's what he's doing. So, but he says, I won't hold you up any longer. Let's get on with this stuff. Verse 5. We found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. He's a ringleader of the Nazarene sect, and even tried to desecrate the temple, so we seized him. Right, so that's his case, to start with, yep? Right? Points he makes. This man is a troublemaker. Right, does troublemaker sound bad to you?
Yeah.
Not too bad, but the word he's using in the context of Rome and Roman law, troublemakers are bad news. Right, these are people that you don't want. Right, so he's making out Paul to be a bit of a nasty piece of work, causing problems wherever he goes, yeah? So that's his main accusation. This guy's bad news, you want to get shut of him. Right, that's his first point. He's a troublemaker, and then stirring up riots. What Romans don't like are riots. So, you know, this is proof he's a troublemaker. He goes and stirs up riots. Is that true? It's not true, but... You know, it depends on how you spin it. Whenever he went, there were riots. Right? But who's the cause of them? That's the point, you see. But, you know, when the media is telling you the story, they'll put their slant on it. And so he's the cause of the riots, not the people who are being nasty. Right? Okay. Oh, he's all over the world. Well, when he says all over the world, what does he mean? The Roman world. That's all they knew. Right? America hadn't been discovered by the Europeans. That I assume the Indians knew that America was there. anyway, there you go. He's a ringleader of the Nazarene sect. Right, now then, there they are. He's one of the chief troublemakers, and he's part of a break-off group. That's what he's saying, is a Nazarene sect. The Nazarene is?
Jesus.
That's where it's come to mean the name, yeah? It's one of these branch-off groups, you know. Gone rogue, you could say, yeah? And he even tried to desecrate the temple. Right, now that's a bit of a lie and a spin there, but he's saying, you know, because he was accused of taking somebody in who was a Gentile, remember? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he wasn't doing that either. So we seized him. Well, we seized him, all right. Nearly tried to kill him, but, you know, you gloss that down a bit. Yeah. So, by examining him yourself, you'll be able to learn the truth about all these charges we are bringing against him. So he said, you ask him. You see what he's got to say for it, right? So that's doesn't look good, right? They've got the best lawyer in the country on the job. They've said some really mean things about Paul, so he's got a problem. So what do you think Paul did? Well, no, just before we get there, the Jews joined in the accusation, asserting that these things were true. So Tertullus has got his group behind him, you know, the backup group. Say, yes, it's true, and all that stuff, yeah? So they're all at it, so it's... It's bad news for Paul. So, when the governor motioned for him to speak, what do you think Paul did?
Stood up for himself.
But I'd like to suggest he did something which is not mentioned here.
Prayed.
He prayed. I suspect he's saying, Lord, what do I say? Because Jesus had promised, when you're brought before judges and rulers, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say. But you better ask the Holy Spirit first, eh? Yeah. So, I suspect that's what Paul did. He did pray. And do you know, God answered him.
Yes,
he does usually, doesn't he? Yes. So, here we are. He says, then the governor motioned for him to speak. Paul replied, I know that for a number of years you have been a judge over this nation, so I gladly make my defence. That's his non-lardy introduction. Yeah? He's saying, I know you're a judge, I know you've been a judge for a long time, so I'm happy to be here to tell you my piece. Right? Okay. Down to the facts. You can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago, I went up to Jerusalem to worship. Right? So, I haven't enough time to cause all the trouble that they're saying.
Yeah.
Right? But the other is, I went up to Jerusalem to what?
Worship.
To worship. I'm not there to cause riots. I'm there to worship. Yes? So he's making the point, you know, I'm not one of these troublemakers. I went to just worship God, that's all right. And then he says, my accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple. Fact. There's nobody been arguing with, right? And I wasn't even stirring up a crowd in the synagogues or anywhere else in the city. Fact.
Yeah.
Right, so he brings out the evidence. That's what he's doing, yes? And they cannot prove the charges they are now making against me. Right, so he turns it back on them. They can't prove it. We want proof, not allegations. Right, if they haven't got the facts, if they haven't got the proof, case dismissed.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. However, Paul can't miss a good chance, can he? Yeah. However, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. What's Paul's answer there? That's really clever.
He's following Jesus.
Yeah? He says, I'm a follower of the way, that's the Christian, the Nazarene lot, yes? But he says, look how he introduces it. However, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers.
No.
What he's saying is, we're not any Johnny-come-lately with some newfangled ideas. We're bang in line with the way it's always been. The prophecy's pointing to where we are, right? So he's really saying is, we're not some out-of-the-road people. We are in the mainstream of worshipping God, right? So we're not one of these mad cat group groups yet, right? Yeah. Okay. So we're followers of the way, which they call a sect, right? They call it, but it isn't. Right? Of course, the Sadducees would call it a sect, because they call the Pharisees a sect as well, I suppose. But that's how it goes. I believe everything that agrees with the law and that is written in the prophets. Right. Now then, how about that? I believe everything that's written in the law and in the prophets. Now then, you need to know what he's saying there. What does he mean when he says that?
He believes in the judge, what the judge is saying and everything.
Yeah, but he's talking about the law. Which law is he talking about?
The law.
The Bible law. Yes. He says the law and the prophets. What Paul just said, which is what the Sadducees didn't believe. The Sadducees believed in the law, they didn't believe in the prophets. Yeah? They only accepted the first five books of the Bible, right? This is a long way of saying, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. Yeah? When he calls it the law and the prophets, he's saying that's my definition of the Bible. Jesus, if you read it in, well, let's look at this, in Luke, right at the end of Luke, right? Same author, the last chapter of Luke, where Jesus meets with the disciples after his resurrection, and he gives them a Bible study. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I've got to find where it is now then. Yes, here we are. It's verse 44. Thank you, yes. Yeah. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Yeah? Now, sometimes they left the reference to the Psalms out, but it's included in the whole idea. The Bible, anybody got a Hebrew Bible with them? Right? What's the Jewish Bible? Right? It's got three layers. You know how you have the Holy Bible in our books, yeah? In the Jewish Bible, they've got three sets of words, right? Law, prophets, writings. That's cover to cover. Yeah? So basically what he's saying is, I believe the Bible. Good lad. Right? Now there's a challenge for you, brother and sisters. Right? What do you like with the Bible? Do you believe the Bible?
Yes.
Right? All of it?
Yes.
Or are you being selective, you know? There are some that are very selective today, you know? We believe what we can explain. But if we can't explain it, well, must have made it up. We have some wonderful bits in Isaiah. You want to go to Isaiah sometime? Isaiah prophesied things, and one of the real things that the liberal critics have is Isaiah's prophecy that Cyrus would come and tell the Jews to go back home. Now he prophesied that. He prophesied Cyrus before even Babylon had risen as a power. Yeah? We're talking 100 or more years. That's pretty good forecasting. Even the Met Office can't do that. Right? So, they have problems. When it says Cyrus, what do the critics say? They say, that must have been written afterwards. Because we cannot believe that they could have prophesied something so detailed as that. Right? Well, Paul didn't have that problem. Jesus didn't have that problem. And someone said this. It was very good. Do you believe that Daniel wrote the prophecy of Daniel?
Yeah.
Right? Some don't. Right? Because Daniel prophesies the future, and they say it must have been written after the event. and they put Daniel's name on it. Yeah? But someone put it really well like this. If you have a problem with who wrote Daniel, you don't just have a problem with who wrote Daniel. You've got bigger problems than that. Because Jesus said, Daniel wrote Daniel. So if you don't believe that, you've got a problem with Jesus. So, you know, Jesus has tied up all the loose ends. You've got no escape route. If you don't believe his word, you don't believe any of it, to be honest. So, Paul says, I believe Scripture, page to page, cover to cover, right? I believe all that's in the law and the prophets. Wonderful. So, he's basically saying is, I'm not one of these odd sect people. I worship God that they've always worshipped, our people. And he says, I'm holding to the book as it was given to us. Right? So, then he says, now then, where have we got, lost my place here? Verse 15. I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Well, they didn't believe that for a start. But in general, the Pharisees did. They believed that there would be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. That's true. That's called the general resurrection. Did you know that? Did you know the resurrection? It's coming?
Yeah.
Of the good and the bad?
Oh, yeah.
And the ugly? Go to Daniel. Go to Daniel. I'll just give you a little quote from Daniel. It's in Daniel. See, that's why they have problems with Daniel. Because Daniel tells them they're going to have problems. Right. Right, look at this. Chapter 12. Last chapter of Daniel. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, that's the book of life, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. That's the rise of the righteous and the wicked. Yeah. So, I believe that, he says. Right, so, that's what he's saying. I believe all of that. So, as a result of what I believe, verse 16 is the practical bit. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. I'm no troublemaker. I realise that I'm going to answer to God. And so that will affect the way I behave.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope, do you realise that?
Yeah.
What you believe affects the way you behave. And he says, I believe that I've got to answer to God for my life. I believe that. So I always strive to keep my conscience clear before God and man. Right. So I want to keep things right. If you want to keep things right with the Lord, well, we need to do that by his grace, yeah? After an absence of several years, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings. Right, so now, having stated his case, he's giving a bit of background to what was going on, right? After an absence of several years, he's been away on mission, of course, and he says, I came back to Jerusalem, what to do? To bring my people gifts. Gifts for the poor. Say, so I'm come to bless the people. I haven't come to cause riots. In fact, I've come to give them some dosh. Right. Okay, so there we are. He says, I'm bringing this money. Actually, that rings a little bell in Felix's mind, as you'll see. He makes a note of that. Right. This man's got access to money. I'll remember that one. Yeah. Okay, so I came to bring gifts to the poor and to present offerings. What offerings was he going to present?
Jesus.
No. Literally. What did he go to the temple for? How did he get caught? How did he get arrested? He'd gone to the temple to present offerings for those Nazarites, remember? The guys that had made vows. Yes, and he was going to pay their expenses. And so he's gone to present the offerings in order to finalise the whole process of making the vow. Yeah, so he's come to bring the offerings. So he's not there to desecrate the temple. He's there to honour the temple. Right? You don't bring offerings, you're going to cause problems, do you?
No.
So, that's what I did, he says. There was no crowd with me, nor was I involved in any disturbance. Fact. But there are some Jews from the province of Asia who ought to be here before you and bring charges if they have anything against me. He says, I'll tell you where the real problem's coming from. And it's the guys that aren't here. They're the ones that have caused the trouble. Where are they now from the province of Asia, do you think?
Heading home.
They're heading home. Party over. Right, so that's where they're off. So he says, It's them that should be here to make any charges if there are any. So the people who are supposed to be causing the problems aren't there. So they obviously can't back up their case. Right, so, or these here, who are here, should state what crime they found in me when I stood before the Sanhedrin. And so, he says, did the Sanhedrin find me guilty?
Yeah.
Well, it was a total chaos, if you remember the story, but they did find him guilty. He says, unless it's this one thing, as I shouted as I stood in their presence, it is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today. That's, he says, that's my only fault. I actually shouted out, it's because I'm believing the resurrection of the dead that I'm on trial today. And of course, that was the lighter to set off the whole fire between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Yeah. So, he says, that's it. So then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. Right. And then he says this, when Lysias the commander comes, he said, I will decide your case. Right. So he adjourns the proceedings. I've heard so much. We'll leave it at that for the moment. It's what judges do, isn't it? They never decide anything. They always just stall. Right? It's as plain could be. He's not guilty. Right? But Felix has an agenda. Right? There's all these... I shouldn't say this about politicians. He's not speaking nice about politicians, is he really? But there we are. Felix definitely has an agenda. So, he says he was well acquainted with the way. How did he find out? How did he get to know about these Christians? Well, his wife was the daughter of one of the Herods. Right? So they were around at the time. They were young. They were youngish. But they were familiar with what was going on with the Christians. Yeah. So he knows what's going on. So his interest has been challenged a little bit. Yeah. So he says, we'll hold fire and wait till Lysias, the commander, comes. Right? We'll wait for the top judge. That's what we'll have. Yes. He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. How about that?
Oh, well.
Yeah? In other words, he's not guilty, but we'll keep him anyway. That's really what it's about. Yeah? He says, keep a guard on him, but, you know, give him a bit of freedom, a bit of slack. And what's he going to get? He's going to find that his friends can take care of his needs. So what would his friends do? They'd bring him a few snacks, yeah, a few goodies, things like that. But best of all, what would Paul get?
Fellowship.
Yes. I suspect Paul made good use of this time. Yeah. We're not told what he did, but just having the freedom to be there. I suspect he had Bible studies in the Herod's palace and things like that. It doesn't say so. Obviously, Luke's not telling us the whole story, but I can't imagine Paul not making good use of the time. So he's got the freedom. I suspect he made use of it. So there he is in Caesarea and being looked after for the while, right? And isn't it interesting? Those Christians in Caesarea that had said to Paul, don't go to Jerusalem, big trouble coming. Now they've got a chance to bless him, now that he's back in Caesarea. Yeah. So, what happens then is, several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess. Aha! That's how he knew about the way. His missus had said things, I guess, yeah? Right? Right, now, his wife Drusilla, he'd nicked her off his brother, I believe. So there was a bit of a dirty dealings in the family, yeah? So he was, and also Felix was a very cruel man. He was really a vicious ruler in that sense, yeah? And so he was not popular. He was an immoral man, because he'd obviously got problems with his wife's relation, of course. So he's an immoral man, he's a violent man, he's a bad man, we'd say, right? So he calls in Paul, right? His curiosity has been lightened up a bit, yeah? Mm. Several days later, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. So he wanted to know what Paul believed, right? And Paul wouldn't miss a chance like that, would he? Right? So he's interested. You know, even bad people can be interested in God, you know?
Yes.
Right? Which is good news, isn't it, right? So, it says, As Paul discoursed, the word discoursed means he talks quite at length, gets down to the nitty-gritty, right? He doesn't aim at the ball and hit the wall, yeah? He's got bang on targets, yeah? So as Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, three topics in his sermon, right? Right, okay. He spoke on righteousness. Well, he's certainly not that. Right? What God says is right, and what you think's right aren't the same things. Right, Felix? God says you don't do this, you shouldn't do that, you should do this, and so on. And he hasn't got a tick list on this one. Yeah, failed on every point. On righteousness, self-control. How about that? Well, it's certainly got not self-control. The woman sitting next to him is proof of that. Right, so he's the target. Yes, self-control and the judgment to come. What's that about? Yeah. If you've done A, B, C, you're going to answer for A, B, C. Yeah. Right? The judgments are coming. Absolutely certain. Paul talks about these things. So as he spoke about these things, it says, Felix was afraid. That's a very mild translation.
Yeah.
He was scared out of his mind. Yeah. Seriously frightened. Yeah. And he said, that's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. Too hot?
Yeah.
Pressure.
I couldn't take it.
Right. He was frightened. Well, what's going on?
He's
coming under conviction.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's coming under conviction.
Well, we've all understood that, surely. We have to.
Right.
Turn to the Lord.
Yeah. That's right. God's at work in this man's life.
Yeah.
God wants him. God's getting at him. That's what it's about. Through Paul, God is getting at this man. His conscience is on fire at the moment, yeah? But what does he do?
Stops it.
He stalls.
Yeah.
He stalls. Right. He says, we'll save it for later. Right.
Better think about it, won't he?
Bad. You know why? It's bad.
He'd had the best opportunity.
That was the best opportunity, yeah? You let that moment go, right, in the morning, well, what was I thinking of, right? He'll be hard. Basically, he's going to harden himself, right? Yeah? Harden, because he didn't respond when God was calling. That's a terrible thing. I've seen it, brothers and sisters. I've spoken to people over the years, and they really have sort of, you thought they're going to make a decision to follow Jesus, and you see them the next day, and it's as if they never said anything. Not good. Miss the moment. Yeah. Only I can say this, I don't know. God can give people other chances, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll bring it back to his mind later on, I don't know.
Or be planting the seed in some water.
Yeah. I mean, if God had given up on first attempt on me, I think we wouldn't be here tonight, would we? Right. But this man made a big mistake. Here is his big chance to respond to God, and he says, oh, old fire, we'll wait, yes. What made him do that?
He's frightened.
Fear. It's fear. And the devil's the one that causes fear in the end. Fear of following God. I mean, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They became afraid and hid.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what he's doing. Yeah. Frightened. This God might make too many demands on my life. What's it going to mean? What if? Yeah, all of those things the devil will put into your mind if you're a follower of Jesus. Right? It's the best thing that could happen to you. But he won't tell you that.
Probably thought if he didn't listen to it, he'd go away.
Well, yes, yeah. Does not, right? Okay, so he says, that's enough for now. You may leave. That's a very nice way of saying clear off. You may leave means go, right? When I find it convenient, I will send for you. Right, that isn't a convenient time, right? At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. Isn't that interesting? He's got ulterior motives as well. So, he's hoping, because you see, he knows that Paul has brought money from Christians to help other Christians.
Yeah.
So if Paul's got contact with Christians, he might be able to get some money out of them as well. Right? And he's hoping that Paul will buy his release.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's about, you know. Offer me a bribe and we'll call it quits, eh? You're free to go. Right? But Paul's not playing that game, of course. Right? Why? Because Paul knows he's going to Rome. Jesus told him. Right? So Paul, he says, he can hold fire on this one. I know where I'm going, so you can't stop me going there, so I shall just sit here, right? But okay, so he called upon him frequently. Yes, he sent for him frequently and talked with him. Yes, I wonder how much of the conversation came up on righteousness, self-control and judgment to come. I should imagine Paul tried, but he probably did a lot of tennis, batting it off, you know.
He wanted the shekels.
Right, that's it. Interesting though, isn't it? You know, I suspect they didn't all die immediately. You know, the sort of conscience bit didn't die immediately. He hardened himself over a period of time. Sad to say, when 2 years had passed, how about that? 2 years.
Like it sounds as though.
For all that time.
You know what, he sounds as though he had the seed and the water and everything else.
Yeah. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. We're going to meet Festus later on. He was succeeded by. That's a nice phrase. You know what actually happened? He was removed.
Yeah.
He was so nasty, so violent, the Jews were raising a complaint about him. Right? If they report him to the top lot, this guy could not only lose his job, he could lose his life. Right? So Felix is not a happy bunny. He's in a bit of a dodgy situation. They're going to chuck him out. So what does he do? But because Felix wanted to grant a favour to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. What's he gone and done? He's trying to soften up the Jews because he's been so nasty to them. He thinks, well, I'll do them a favour. They hate Paul. So if I do a deal with them, keep Paul there. And what does he do with Paul now? He left Paul in prison. I suspect he closed the doors on it.
Yeah.
That's my guess. I think he probably clamped down on the freedom that Paul had. Yeah. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's made it look bad for Paul in order to try and win a bit of favour for himself. And he was removed from office. Right? We don't know any more about him after that, as far as I'm aware. Right? I wonder if God ever got through to him.
Oh.
You know, we can hope so, but...
He had
2 years with Paul and he didn't respond. But there you are. How long did it take for God to get through to you?
Exactly.
Yes. Well, there you are. So, but it's a bad example. Yeah. When God speaks, respond. Yeah. Because the opportunities may not come as quickly as you'd like in future. Yeah? So, he leaves Paul in prison. So we're waiting now for Porcius Festus. He's a Roman governor who's coming along after Felix has been replaced. And we get to chapter 25 for that. Right, so we're going to look at chapter 25 with Paul's trial before Festus. Another trial. What did Paul do in those 2 years? Doesn't say. Doesn't say. I don't think he wrote letters. Or at least, he didn't write any letters we've got. Because all of his letters, either when he was free or when he was in prison in Rome. But he's in prison in Caesarea, yeah?
He said he was going on, didn't he?
He's going to go to Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah? But Paul, is going to? He's going to go to Rome, and in Rome, in prison, he writes letters to the churches that we have as our New Testament letters. Here, we don't know what he's doing. Maybe, do you think God locked up Paul to give him a rest?
I can imagine it.
Possibly.
Was he still allowed people at that point around him?
Sorry?
Was he still allowed...
He got friends earlier on, it was part of that process, yes. Yes. So I suspect he made good use of that, really. But I suspect also God's given this man
time
to recover from all that's gone before to get him ready for the next phase. I suspect that's what's happening. God's preparing him for the next phase of the journey. And I suspect also Paul had time to think and pray through his theology, in the sense of how to express what God's revealed to him so he could put it into letters later on. I don't know, but if you feel like you've been stuck in prison for 2 years, and you think, what am I doing here? Just think Paul probably thought that as well. But God has his plans. It's not over with Paul at the end of chapter 24. Right? It's the beginning, really. Chapter 24 is the end of that phase, and it's the beginning of a new phase for Paul. Right? Because Paul, after this, is going to be heading for Rome. just like Jesus said he would. Yeah. So we've got to stop there, dear friends. Is that all right? Sorry and all that, but we can't do another trial. We've had one already, and we don't want to give you too many trials in one go, do we?
Got to be a recess.
Got to be a recess. We will adjourn for the present, yes. Right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your Spirit speaking into our lives and giving us a bit of a fright at times, Lord, when we see the evil of our sin and the judgment that's righteous in your eyes, Lord, of this, what is against sin. And Lord, thank you. You've also shown us at the cross that sin was judged as it was put on Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you don't frighten us to destroy us. You want us to see the evil of sin in order to find the beauty of Jesus and his salvation. Lord, we don't know what became of Felix, Lord, but we pray, Lord, for the people that we share with. Lord, we can tell the gospel, we can share it as well as we can, and Paul did a great job, I'm sure. But Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to work on the inside of those who hear. But Lord, unless they respond to you, our words are empty. Lord, thank you for Paul, your servant, that he did what he could where he was. Lord, and though he probably felt restricted to some degree, yet Lord, I'm sure made good use of that time. For ourselves, I pray that may be the case too, Lord. Whether we feel imprisoned in situations or whatever, oh Jesus, help us to see you in them, and to make the best of what we have, Lord, in order to bring glory to you. Thank you, Lord. You kept your servant faithful to you through those 2 long years. Lord, I'm sure he never thought that's how long he'd be stuck there in Caesarea. But Lord, you know best. Lord, you have the best things in mind for all of us. And Lord, help us to trust you when we can't see all the answers. Lord, you're wise, far wiser than we are, Lord. And yes, Lord, your ways are higher than ours. We're so grateful that's the case, Lord. You understand and know all things. So, Lord, we love you. We bless you, Lord, that in our journey, whatever road we're on, Lord, you're the master. Lord, help us to see you in the little circumstances as well as the big things, Lord, and to keep on trusting all the way. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithful presence and for your love. Amen.